Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord, and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergent zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show. Hi, everyone. Thank you for being here. It's a beautiful June day. It's June 13th, and I appreciate you spending some time listening to this show. Whether it's live or in the archives, thank you for being here. Your presence matters. Today's show is pretty big. It's about finding peace with completed relationships. And this topic is so big. I feel that there are many cycles ending. We've been ending them for a long time. A lot of relationships that are complete, they can be complete for so many reasons, for so many different themes and so many different lessons that we're here to master. And when these energies and relationships are complete, it can be confusing and unsettling and potentially hurtful and sad for our human selves. Triggers a lot of emotions in us. It can really rock our core. And all of these experiences and emotions that come up are gifts. They are divine gifts. And I was looking at this topic, and I was thinking about what I wanted to say and how I could say it, and I didn't have a lot of clarity around it because there were so many different ways this could go, just because it's such a big topic. So what I decided was just to relax into it and trust my guides, my angels, and my team, my cosmic guidance team, to give me the information that would be for our best and highest good, meaning the information that comes through is not from our human selves, not from our mind, it's not from the ego, it's from that place of pure love that is our natural energy state. And so what I'm going to share with you is that message. It's pretty long. It actually came out to be about 5 pages. A 5-page message, and I'm excited to share it with you. I have not read it myself. When I'm receiving information, I'm literally just typing and receiving. So it'll be interesting as I'm reading this what comes up and what is triggered, because it feels very deep and love-filled, and that we're going to get some energetic releases through the message. So that is my intention, and that is why I'm sharing it. I hope this finds you at the right place for this message. I trust that it does. I trust that you were directed or guided to this show for those reasons. So I'm going to get into that here in just a moment. In the second half of the show, we're going to talk about astrology, and we are going to specifically look at Jupiter moving into Gemini. This just happened 2 days ago. It's a transition that happens once a year, so it's a pretty big deal. Jupiter is the biggest planet in our solar system, and when it changes signs, it really shifts the energy in a big way. We're going to look at what it means energetically to have Jupiter in Gemini. If you don't know astrology and you don't know what I'm talking about, no worries. I'm going to explain this in a way where you can still get some value out of it, and you'll know the themes to look for in your own life, and you'll just know what this is really about. You don't need to be an astrologer or have any kind of background in astrology to get some good benefits from this information. However, if you would like to follow along with your astrology chart, I invite you to do that, to grab your chart, and we're going to go through the 12 different houses so that you can see where Jupiter in Gemini is working in your life. We're going to look at what those themes are and what you might discover in this next year as it transits through all 30 degrees of Gemini. So let's get started with this channeled message. I invite you to put your feet on the ground or to be seated comfortably so that you feel grounded. When these messages come through, they can be big. I have felt like I literally glide up or sway or elevate in some manner. And so I'm always very intentional with being grounded in my physical self, in touching the floor, in feeling my feet, my ankles, my calves, everything that really connects us to the earth. So just take a moment to get comfortable so that you can receive this information in the best way for you. It's my intention to share this in a manner that connects with you in exactly the way you need it, in exactly the right timing, and in the highest and best way. And I like to start with that energetic blessing, just to open us up and to be willing to accept whatever comes through. Okay, so here we go. You arrive with a unique signature of love energy that is a direct connection to your soul's natural light. This love energy is pure light and knows no darkness. It knows nothing except light and nothing except love. You are a soul who exists beyond any shades of gray and who swims beautifully in the purity of love. When you choose a human existence as a soul, you consciously and willingly choose to move away from this pure existence of love and into other variations of light. You carry your soul's love signature with you into denser energies that cannot naturally hold a high vibration. The energy of Earth is not meant to be a place of pure light because it is a playground for you to grow, expand, and experience all of the polarities of emotions. Being a divine human being means holding the energy of love within you, yet its purest level remains dormant until you choose to open the gateway to higher expressions and experiences of love. This is why relationships serve your highest and best interests in all ways. Relationships are the doorways you choose to walk through to learn about yourself and connect again to the highest state of love you are open and willing to experience. Every relationship in your life arrives to connect you with your highest expression of love. Every relationship is about opening yourself up to the experiences that you and humanity needs to feel, observe, and transmute. When you have a relationship with another, it also represents a relationship with humanity. The two are always connected and supporting of each other. You are a connected being experiencing relationships for the good of humanity. You have chosen certain experiences in your life because you knew at a soul level they would elevate you in some manner. These most powerful experiences are often through relationships. These can play out in unlimited ways and reveal unlimited paths of growth, healing, and joy. Relationships with others is your choice in how you want to grow your soul. Every relationship is connected to you energetically. You have soul agreements, soul contracts, and incredible growth opportunities within every relationship. These connections have been reinforced and played out in numerous ways through many lifetimes, all with the highest intention of your soul's growth and as a stepping stone to mastery. You select people to play roles in your life to assist you in fulfilling whatever soul lessons you chose to master. Someone can only be in your life because you ask them to play a role or because you chose with your free will to connect to their energy. You may have cycles upon cycles of connection with a soul, and you may have been repeatedly playing out the same themes with them in order to arrive at a new level of mastery. Every soul is serving your soul's growth in beautiful ways, just as you are serving their soul's growth. The exchange is always mutual, and the energy matches up in some manner, whether you consciously see it or not. Every relationship is an energetic connection. When relationships are complete, it is because the energy between the two souls has ended. This can occur numerous ways, yet the most common ways that relationships end are due to each person's free will. Free will is your ultimate choice to do whatever you want in whichever way you want, and you can tune into your head, your ego, your heart, or your soul for free will guidance at any time. Oftentimes, it appears that one soul has made a decision and the other soul had no choice. This is the victim consciousness paradigm that you know too well, and yet it is also something you created as a learning technique. In spirit, there are no victims. There are no less than beings. There is no status. All are equally loved, cherished, and honored. Victim consciousness is part of a greater role that you created on earth to learn for your soul's highest and best good. When you understand that it is just a role, and you understand that it is part of your free will to choose that role, you can also choose to release yourself from that role. When you arrive as a human being, you agreed to play a game, and you forgot this wisdom and wanted to believe in the concept of power. Power in human terms has become one of the most manipulated tools. You are all powerful, and you are all powerfully loved. Yet the game of power in human terms shows up to teach you about your free will and how you can create something new at any moment when you use your innate power. Relationships play a key role in this consciousness. You have trained yourselves to expect one person to be powerful and one to be less so when relationships end. But the only manner in which relationships can be complete is because the energy has been disconnected and you have released it. Who chooses to release the energy is not important because the energy always comes from love. It is love. It can only be love. What is important is that at a soul level, just as you invite someone to play a role in your life for growth, you also ask them to complete the energy when it is for their best and highest good as well. When a soul leaves your life for whatever reason, know that it is for their highest and best good at that time. It is their free will making a decision out of love for what their soul needs. Honor their free will. Honor the time you spent together. Honor the purpose of healing, growing, and ending cycles that no longer serve you. Honor them as you honor yourself. Feel gratitude for your free will. Feel gratitude for their free will that is divinely guiding them. These insights will connect at your soul level, but at the human ego mind level, it may be trying to understand because you have the energy of emotions. Emotions are vital for your learning and growth, for they are a divine tool of reflection. Emotions show you where you have energy to transmute into love and where you have energy that requires focused intention. Emotions are never bad, hard, or difficult. It is simply your judgment of them that makes this so. Judgment is an unconscious program that runs rampant in human beings and is also one of your greatest areas of growth and potential. To judge something about yourself further separates you from love. To judge your emotions separates you from love. To judge others separates them from love. To judge anything as non-love is your free will, yet does it truly serve your highest and best growth? Emotions are a tool you chose to work with. You chose which emotional themes to play with for your soul's growth, and you chose which people could come into your life to play with those themes. Emotions that you judge show you an area of great potential. In spiritual terms, emotions are simply energy in motion. They show you to have a full, expansive human experience and allow you to know the full spectrum of opportunities that are available to you. Every emotion can serve your highest soul's growth if you choose to connect it with love. Relationships are meant to trigger emotions that are ready to be transmuted to love. The boss who angers you, the parent that abandons you, the sibling that ignores you, and the partner that breaks up with you are all in your life as an opportunity to experience greater love within your being. Consider the following scenario. Perhaps you have a theme of rejection and abandonment that has been in play for numerous lifetimes. You have been in various roles within this theme, both the rejected and the oppressor. And you have circled in this energy continuously because your soul wanted to play the game of returning to love. You needed others to participate in this learning process, and this is why you asked them to be in certain relationships with you. You allowed specific souls to show up and give you the opportunity to complete this theme with the intention of triggering within you certain emotions, thoughts, and behaviors. Now remember yourself as a divine soul. And imagine yourself as the soul of divine light in whatever shades, colors, and energy come to you. And as you are imagining this, picture yourself in human form as you are now. Picture yourself in a vast white room with no walls, only open, expansive space. And you are in a circle with other souls discussing what you wish to master and learn next. You put the energy out there to complete the themes of rejection and abandonment. And others in the group are cheering you on. The circle is in full support of your decision to master this lesson. They are thrilled for you and this choice you have made as a soul to end this cycle so you can move on to other areas of mastery. You are loved, hugged, and celebrated for this announcement. As all in the circle are celebrating you, you notice a few brave souls, step forward with their hands raised. They are volunteering to help you master this lesson. They love you so much, they want to partake in this learning, and they feel honored to participate. They volunteer to do whatever you need them to in order to grow as a soul and to be a greater master. You select a handful of souls with love. You feel immense gratitude and love for their willingness to volunteer and to play these roles. You know their intentions are pure and that they are coming from a place of divine love. You know they are volunteering with love and you are choosing them with love. It is yet another celebration because a plan is in motion to assist you in growing exactly how you chose to grow. And you were supported, celebrated, and honored for this choice and this plan you made. You discuss with each soul what role they can play and how. You exchange ideas about how to get the most from these experiences. You are delighted to have each of these souls play these key relationships in your life. You even discuss particular phrases they might say, particular behaviors they may exhibit. You share what would trigger your emotions in a way that would spur you on to greater growth. You go through this plan together knowing that this is so perfect. Then you enter into human form and you forget all these agreements. You forget what you chose. You forget the theme your soul wants to master. You forget the love behind the learning experience. You forget that every other soul volunteered from a place of love, and you accepted them from a place of love. You forget everything. You forget all of it. Yet the tools you have to remember these divine contracts come to you through your emotions. Your emotions show you your greatest potential and hold the key to what you can transmute into love. As your life unfolds and the theme continues to show up in various areas of your life, you notice the emotions cycle around. Perhaps you feel deep sadness or depression or anger regularly. Perhaps you see the pattern in these relationships and how they trigger you. Perhaps you see and sense that there is something deeper going on here. Perhaps you feel it, and even if you can't mentally wrap your mind around it, you know that there is something amazing occurring, and it's happening for your best and highest good. This is the gold you are seeking. This is the gateway to greater peace you can walk through with your conscious mind and free will. Understand that every individual on your path who triggers a similar theme within you is playing a role for your growth. When you connect the theme with the deeper soul learning that is occurring, you will automatically raise the energy of the relationship. You will see it from a different perspective and know that you are learning. And you will know what you are learning, too. This may take the assistance of others who can offer you insights, because when the emotions are deep, it is hard to find objectivity around one's own area of growth. This is why you are surrounded by other masters. This is why you are surrounded by communities, with healers, with those connected to deeper wisdom of your soul's path. You don't have to remember it all right away, but you have to have the courage to step out and ask for assistance when you feel the nudge, when you feel the yearning, that there is more information to discover, that there is more gold to dig up. There are others who can help you understand what these themes are. When you remember that relationships exist because you requested them for learning, you will connect more fully to your soul's wisdom. You begin the divine remembering of how every person comes to you with love in their soul. It was volunteered to play a role you needed. They arrived in your life with love. And so they leave your life with love. Go back to that vast white room you were in with other souls. See yourselves sitting again in a circle and feeling so connected. You are vibrating at the highest possible levels and loving each other immensely. You are existing in the energy of pure joy. Now see yourselves discussing the completion of this theme and its lessons. See yourselves talking about your human roles and relationships ending as a sign that the energy of this lesson is complete. See how you're each giddy with delight that you did it. You did it together. You carried out a beautiful and loving plan to assist each other in growing. It was so divine, so filled with love, so perfect. You are each celebrating, congratulating, and thanking each other. You feel immense gratitude because there is no way you could have learned so much without the others. You feel their love for you on a soul level and how they volunteered to be your partner, to be your parent, to be your boss, to be a coworker or a friend. You feel how they arrived in your life with pure love and they leave with pure love. There is no room for anything else. Now return to your human existence, and perhaps you see yourself as confused, sad, hurt, angry, and feeling low. Perhaps you see yourself blaming another for what they did. Perhaps you see yourself holding on to these emotions and continually churning in them. Perhaps you see yourself analyzing the other person for what they needed to learn. Perhaps you see yourself judging them. Perhaps you see how ultimately none of this matches your natural state of love and the love that this relationship was formed with. Now see yourself releasing that energetic density. See the difference between the excitement and celebration of mastering this level and how it can look with the human experience of unconscious free will. You have the divine power to choose anything you want at any time. Your emotions are part of your free will. Yet the secret to emotions of a dense nature is that they are a starting point that will show you what areas of your energy are ready for higher vibrations of love. The energies from a lower state are a starting point, and your free will transmutes them. Your emotions give you beautiful clues about your healing themes and where you chose to focus your soul's growth and mastery. It's important to remember that relationships that are complete are for your highest and best good should you choose that perspective. Letting go with love for them and love for yourself is a gift you give to humanity. You chose in your soul's plan to end relationships when the other soul's free will was complete in honoring your free will. The other soul's free will may no longer match your free will. Yet you honor and love them for their free will, and you know you are not obligated to another. You are in human existence for spiritual self-mastery, and you love this about yourself. You honor this in yourself. There is joy, gratitude, and peace about this, because the higher plan that is in motion honors both free wills and the love on both sides of any relationship. You can make the choice to see the beauty and perfection of every relationship in your life, just as you can choose to discover the higher purpose as to why they played a role for your self-mastery and your soul's growth. You have the power to create peace in all relationships across all dimensions, all lifetimes, and all timelines now. To create peace means to be the one who declares all is well. Affirm that everything is in divine order and perfect for you now. Affirm that everything around you and inside of you has a natural state of peace. Willingly open up to this natural state of peace that you carry, because you are peace, you are love, you are joy. You can transform your body into a higher vessel for peace by cleaning your energy regularly, and by connecting and visualizing yourself in that vast open room with other souls who love you so much that the only way they can play a role in your life is if they come from a place of love. You can choose this perspective. You can choose this connection at any time. You can choose the peace that naturally exists there, just as you can choose to release the energetic density that no longer serves your best and highest growth. It played a role, an important role, and you can choose to complete that with love. As relationships change, you open doorways to new relationships that match your vibration better, that match your next phase of mastery, that match your next phase of growth. There is abundance in all things. Relationships ending allow for new abundance to come forth with divine timing and divine connections. If you can find a way to focus on gratitude for the lesson, gratitude for ending themes, gratitude for understanding the key place, the key roles of each person, you are then creating greater gratitude within your own being, and you are connected more fully to your soul's mastery. And as you are doing this, imagine the highest possible white light showering down on you, running through your head, neck, shoulders, and back. See this white light opening up all of your cells and infusing your DNA with the highest possible vibrating light. Follow this energy down through your heart, your stomach, your solar plexus. See it infuse every organ and bone in your body. Watch this light continue into your lower body as it glides down your thighs, knees, calves, and feet, grounding the light into your body and the earth at the same time. Inhale and exhale as this light pulses through your full body and into every part of your energetic aura. This is your body at peace, in peace, and living peace. It is a gift you give yourself. It is a gift you give to every relationship. And it is a gift you give to humanity as the energy of the planet continues to raise with the assistance of your divine conscious free will and your soul's natural loving state. So it is, and so it shall be. Okay, I'm breathing out here. I'm going to take a drink of water. The reason I had to read this was because there was so much coming in that I wasn't sure how much. I had to ground it, essentially. I had to ground all of this. And as I stated at the beginning, I didn't read it beforehand. So I'm trusting that everything came through perfectly and that it connected with you. I personally find that image of a white room and a circle of souls sitting together in so much love to be gorgeous and inspiring, and it brings tears to my eyes. It caught in my throat a few times as I was reading that because it has that familiarity for me. I've had a lot of completions for areas that I've chosen to heal and release and master. And I really related to this experience about how our emotions trigger our areas of potential growth. It's interesting because you don't always, that's not how you feel initially when your emotions are coming up and things are coming through. You know, you have to let it move through you. You really have to go into a place of releasing emotions in whatever form that is for you, crying, journaling, exercising, whatever that is. And it's so vital because if we don't do that, we suppress the energy in ways where it shows up in other areas of life. So as these relationships are completing and karmic relationships are ending and these cycles are no longer needed, where you are deciding on a soul level you don't need to keep churning or going over these lessons, when you realize and recognize your mastery, when you recognize that you get it and you know you chose this and you know why you chose it, the release that comes with that, the peace that comes with that is so immense, and it's hard to put into words in a beautiful way. But I'm hoping that this practice of release is something that we continue to master and share with each other. I see people, from my perspective, who could use maybe a little assistance, but I have to honor their free will. And it's important to know that people must initiate it for themselves. They have to be ready for it. And I think back on the last few years, there were times when I wasn't ready to release certain things, and I wasn't ready to let go yet. I was still going through it and moving through it, and that was just part of my process. And yet when I knew I was ready, I knew it, and it was 100% complete. And I honor that for other people, honoring their process, honoring what they need, honoring how to move through something as part of their free will or not moving through it. You can hold on to something your whole life if you choose. It can be your story. It can be what you use as your identity. People can choose any number of possibilities, right? We see that every day, just in pop culture, in the news, online. You can choose anything to hold on to, and you can choose anything to release. And when we release with peace, with gratitude, and with love, the benefits and the infusion of new energy that comes in is incredible. That's my experience with it, and I know that others have had amazing experiences as well. So at this time, I just want to allow all this energy to just sit and maybe be in your aura for a bit if that's what you choose. Maybe listening to the message again, you might hear something new or something different. So I'm just going to let that be, and I hope that guided, partly guided meditation and message was beneficial to you and where you're at right now. So now we're going to take a look at Jupiter moving into Gemini. This just happened on Monday, June 11th, 2012. Jupiter is the biggest planet in our solar system, and Gemini is one of the quickest. It's not a planet, it's ruled by Mercury, which is one of the quickest planets in our solar system. So there's some interesting energies that are combining here. The last time that Jupiter was in Gemini was July 2000 to July 2001. Jupiter takes a full year to move through each astrological sign. And so it's a 12-year cycle when it comes around to be in a sign again. The last time that it was in Gemini, we had new inventions. There was the dot-com boom and then bust. There tends to be a lot of communications going on, a lot of automobile stuff happening. There's a lot more ideas coming in, a lot of things being shared in a bigger, broader, and faster way. So Jupiter is associated with the energy of Sagittarius, and it's very expansive. It's philosophical. It's, let's look at the big picture and talk about the possibilities. Jupiter is associated with amplifying, expanding. It can also be about overindulgence, going above and beyond. It pushes the limits. It wants to go beyond wherever you draw a line. It wants to go beyond that line. The Jupiter energy can be very buoyant and happy and optimistic, and it can also be a little bit of a Pollyanna, where everything is always great and everything is going to be big and wonderful. The Jupiter energy, we all have it in our chart natally. And wherever it is natally for you is where you have natural optimism, buoyancy, excitement about life. It's also where you might have to exert very little effort to get rewards. It can bring you a lot of different things in terms of manifestations and energetic connections. And when we have Jupiter moving into Gemini, we have a different shift in the energy. Gemini is associated with communications, thoughts, our mental processes. It's with our daily life is where we see a lot of Gemini attributes. So it could be with your neighbors, siblings. It has to do with local transportation, where you hang out, your favorite hangouts. Gemini is all about social exchange and getting out into the world and sharing. It's commonly associated with being a social butterfly and gracefully chatting with people, being curious about life, being curious about what's going on, wanting to exchange ideas. Gemini also can be focused on data and specifics and wanting to find exact numbers and ideas to explore. It's very cerebral. So when we have Jupiter in Gemini, we're combining the need to be expansive and reaching out with the everyday life that is more particular, that is more specific, and that revolves around how we think and communicate. Typically, Jupiter and Gemini are opposing energies. One wants to go out and travel abroad. One wants to stay right here in my neighborhood and socialize and hang out at the coffee shop and see what's going on. So there's this balance that's needed when Jupiter is in Gemini, because what can happen is we have all these ideas going on, sort of an overload of ideas and concepts, and there's no direction in how to put them into action or how to make them real. One of the images that comes to mind is back to this whole concept of a social butterfly, and I see like all these little butterflies fluttering about, and with Jupiter and Gemini, it's almost like there's too many butterflies flying around, and I don't know which one to grab, and I don't know which one I want, and I don't know what to do with all of them. There's too many butterflies, which can be a beautiful thing if you look at it from just this image of, wow, look at all the butterflies. But when you want to make something happen, when you really want to catch on to one idea, it can feel overwhelming. So the heads up I want to give you about Jupiter and Gemini is that there's a lot of cerebral activity going on, a lot of activities, a lot of motion, a lot of things moving around, so much happening, but what is real? What do you grab onto? What are you going to take and really run with? What idea stands out and is worth investing in, investing your energy, your resources, your time? Something that I like to look at with every planet is the progression it makes. Astrology starts, quote-unquote, with Aries, the sign of Aries. I say quote-unquote because astrology is a circle, so there is no starting or ending, but we associate the beginning of the astrological year with Aries. Back in 2010, Jupiter was in Aries, and so that initiated a new process. Aries is going to spark up ideas. It's going to start a new inspiration. It's going to take charge of something and run with it. This is when we have a ton of ideas come in, or a ton of inspirations, a ton of things we want to initiate and start building. Then Jupiter moves into Taurus. And Taurus is an earth sign. And it looks at all of these ideas and inspirations that Aries just had and says, okay, which one of these can you really practically do something with? What can you build? What can you choose to make real, put it into form, and have it be valuable? Taurus is going to test and build, all in the name of self-value, self-worth. What is true to me? Which one of these inspirations from Aries do I really want to take forward and build into something? So we just completed Jupiter and Taurus. And now as we move into Jupiter and Gemini, we take an inspiration, we build on it, and now we share it. So one of the best uses of Jupiter and Gemini is, what can you share with people? What have you been working on that you want to put out there, that you want to offer to your community? What do you want to do that will benefit others, that will be fun for you, that will maybe spark some curiosity, spark some interest? What do you want to share? And I think that's one of the best ways to make use of Jupiter in Gemini, is to think about, what is it that you have had that you've been working on, maybe behind the scenes or or not. Maybe you've been very open with it. But it's just ready to go to the next level. And you are ready to take it out into the neighborhood, whatever your neighborhood is. I mean, that's not just your local geographical area. It's wherever you have maybe local support. And where can you invest in growing this idea even more with other people's assistance? Gemini is about working with people. It's the sign of duality and the twins. And this can mean that Gemini energy is, you could have the feeling of opposites, as if there's a few different sides to their personality. But this is, it's about being social. It's about, you know, it's not just on you to make this happen. Let people help you. Let your, I like to think of it as your twin energy, come in and work with you. Exchange ideas. Throw things off of one another. You know, see what works. Test it a bit. See what ideas are really going to stick and get other people involved. Jupiter in Gemini is going to be in effect until next June. And so this process is just beginning. You might already know the ideas you have to share. You might still be thinking about what you want to share. But the idea is to get out and be with people and to continue building where you want to go. Think back to 2010. Did you have an idea there that sparked something in you? It could be that this idea just happened recently. It doesn't have to be back in 2010, but that's when this bigger process got started. Regardless of when it started, share it. Socialize. Put up your website. Be on social media. Put it on YouTube. This is what Gemini loves, all this stuff. Gemini is all about networking and being sure that other people are getting your ideas and you're getting theirs. Like I mentioned before, there can be a ton of stuff circling now. There could be an overload of systems. An overload of passengers on a plane, an overload of cars on the highway, an overload of ideas, an overload of books on your nightstand. So you see how the Jupiter can expand it to the way in a way where it's almost too much to digest. And this is where that balance part of Jupiter and Gemini really comes into play, is that you really need to choose what is manageable for you and what you can take and run with. Gemini is also about being flexible, and so any ways you can be flexible with your own ideas and other people's ideas can be really beneficial in getting you to the next version of an idea. It can be about, you know, changing things up a bit, and how can I do this new, and what's a broader way to look at this idea or problem and solve it. So I hope this has given you some ideas about what this energy is about. It shows up differently for every person in terms of how it works with you, with your chart and your natural energies. So what we're going to do is look at Jupiter moving through the 12 different astrological houses to give you an idea of where this energy is going to be expanding for you and where you could feel it the most. I put up on Blog Talk Radio, there is an image of the 12 astrological houses. If you don't see that image, here's how you can find it. Across your astrology chart, there's a horizontal line, which is the ascendant and descendant line. It's known as your rising sign. It goes straight across in the middle of your chart. Above it are six houses. Below it are six houses. And houses are sometimes referred to as like a slices of pie. So there are six of those on top and six of those below your rising sign. So on the left side of your chart, you want to find that line. And on the left side of your chart, going down, is where you're going to find your first house. Okay, so that's how it starts. The first house starts right there below the ascendant, and it's going to go counterclockwise. Now, what's interesting is that you can have Gemini in one house, two houses, or three houses. And I don't want to confuse you if this is a little bit overwhelming. If you look at your astrology chart and think it's just a circle with a bunch of doodads, you're right, it is. It is a circle with a bunch of doodads. And so I help you translate that. And because I want you to get the most out of this, I want to point out that Gemini can be in multiple houses. And so you can find the glyph, the Gemini glyph, also on the Blog Talk Radio slideshow. It's circling around. It looks like two pillars with a top and a bottom line, and that is the sign of Gemini, the sign of the twins and duality. And I want you to find that on your chart. Just look for that sign, symbol. Look for the symbol of Gemini. It could be within one house. It could be straddling two houses, meaning it could be starting in your first house and ending in your second house, or it could be across three houses. So it could, the first 5 degrees could start in the first house. It could go all over your second house and into your third house. Every person's chart is different, so I want you to know that, because as I go through these houses, you might find that Gemini is working with you through up to three houses, which means up to three specific areas in your life, okay? Oh, I forgot to mention that if you don't have your chart right now, you might get some value out of this, but come back and listen to it again when you have your chart in front of you for more specifics. The great thing about these shows is that you can listen to them again and again in the archives. So let's start with Gemini in the first house. And your first house is all about your personal identity, your physical appearance, your energy, how you present yourself to the world. It's how people see you before they know you. Jupiter moving through your first house is about the start of new beginnings and expanding your self-identity in some way. Maybe you go and you learn more about different philosophies or different ideas that really appeal to you. Maybe you're expanding your connections in your neighborhood. This house is really about ourselves and our own personal identity and what we do to feel good about ourselves, to feel good about our physical appearance, to feel good about what we share with others. So the first house is a starting point. And then we move into the second house. And this is where we look at our self-worth and what we claim for ourselves as valuable. It can be about your finances, your possessions, your personal resources. It's also about simplifying and back to basics things. I also associate the second house with, it is associated with money and finances and investments and what you do for yourself that makes you feel at peace within your being. This could be about, Jupiter and Gemini in this house can be about new investments coming through or new money sources coming through. It can be about financial gain. It can be about connecting with others in a new and more meaningful way. Jupiter going through the second is usually expanding how you feel about yourself and can be very uplifting. It does depend on how it's working with other elements of your chart, but that is one expression. Due to time, I'm not going to be able to go through every potential scenario, but I'm just going to give you some insights so that you know what to work with here and what to focus on. So let's move into the third house. The third house is about your mental processes, your daily routines, communication, short distance travel, learning. It's about sharing your ideas with others. This is the house that's ruled by Gemini. So there could be a real quickening of activity in your life. There could be a lot of stuff happening. You could feel that your daily life is moving at a very fast speed, and there's so many ideas going on, so much happening, but you don't know how to capture it all. This is also about writing, sharing your ideas, you know, what you're doing to solidify how you think and being very conscious of your thought patterns. Now let's move into the fourth house, and this is where we are focused on what we need to feel at home. It's our roots. It's where we come from. It's our comfort zone. It's our physical home, but it's also our emotional home. It's about the private side of ourselves and what we internalize. It can also relate to real estate, genealogy, family roots, and sacred space. So consider those areas of life. If you have Jupiter in Gemini in the fourth house, you could have an expansion in those categories. In the fifth house, we turn to our creative power. This also includes children, risk-taking, how you express yourself in the world, what gives you pleasure. It's about gambling and games and fun and playing. It can also be about excess. It can be about love, what you love, new love interests, love relationships. The fifth house is ruled by Leo, and it's really about your creativity and pleasure. Then we move into the sixth house, and this is where we focus on responsibility in the forms of physical health, diet, being of service to the world, your daily work life. You could see an expansion in your roles at work. This includes, this area of your chart includes hygiene, pets, your natural healing tendencies. It can be about physically healing the body. It can be about paying attention to what you're eating and improving your physical exercise. So this is really where we find responsibility for ourselves in our physical form. Then we watch as the chart goes up. We call this up because it goes into what is the seventh house, and that is above the horizon. And the, above the horizon, these next six houses are all about how we connect with other people. The first six houses were about our inner world, and this takes us above, sort of out of our home, if you will, out of our, and puts us out into the world and how we relate to people. And that begins with the seventh house, which is about relationships, cooperation, legal agreements, business relationships, how we cooperate with others, how we work in tandem with other people, and how we connect. It's what you share in relationships. So Jupiter moving through your seventh house could be an expansion in some form of partnerships. It can be an expansion of how you share with people, what you put out into the world. It's also about balance. So remembering to balance more in this area of your life, remembering to tune into your own needs and understanding that other people have their needs. This is all about relating. And after the seventh house, we move into the eighth house, where we find shared responsibilities, shared resources, others' opinions, emotional depth. This house is ruled by Scorpio, and it's about getting to the deep inner workings of ourselves with the intention of transforming it for the good of relationships, for the good of our own growth. The eighth house is a very interesting house. Astrologically, there's just, it has these qualities that you can't quite grasp in a way. So this house, I find, can be so different for everyone because it depends on where you are in your growth and what you get from it or where you are. But essentially, it's what you are sharing with others and what you are exchanging and how you are using your power. Jupiter going through the eighth house can bring up an increase in interest around psychology, mysteries, sexuality, rituals. This is also associated with death and rebirth, and it could be about a huge life transformation is happening for you. In Gemini, that could mean in your, it could mean that you're moving locations. It could mean that you're undergoing some deep inner mental work. You're really looking at your thoughts differently and wanting to change them into something higher, a higher expression. So that is your eighth house. Then we move into the ninth house. The ninth house is about areas of our life that are greater than ourselves. This includes beliefs, philosophy, trust, faith, meaning and understanding. You know, what's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of my soul's purpose right now? This includes the areas of long-distance travel, religion, publishing, higher education. You could go back to school. You could become a professor. You could be the person who is sharing your beliefs, or you could have an expansion in learning more about other areas of meaning. This is ruled by Sagittarius, the ninth house, and it's a searching energy. It's your inner explorer who wants to seek out and find more information and more ideas and expand your concept of yourself and the world as a result. Then after that, we move into the 10th house, and this is where our career comes into focus and our purpose. It's about personal authority, your recognition of yourself in the world, your recognition by others in the world. It's a focus on ego gratification, potentially, status and rewards and external manifestations of what you've been working to accumulate. Jupiter moving across between your ninth house into your 10th house usually signifies a time of achievement, recognition, and rewards. Depending on how you use the energy, it can be an expansion of your speaking roles, of your writing, of sharing messages. It could be your career really flourishing and taking off with more people coming to you to seek out your ideas and wanting to connect with you. It's pretty significant. It only happens once every 12 years, because like I said, it takes a full 12 years for Jupiter to make a cycle. So if Jupiter is going from your ninth house into your 10th house, that's typically a sign of a lot of notoriety and success. And, you know, Jupiter in Gemini is pretty fast, so it could happen out of nowhere. It could happen quickly. But it's a time when hopefully you are being recognized for what you have achieved. Then we move into the 11th house. The 11th house is about community and associations. It's about groups, our friendships, our acquaintances, our social responsibilities and relationships, social relationships. It's about working with other people through activism. It's about what you can do to make a difference for the collective. It's a very giving energy, can also be very detached. If you have Jupiter in your 11th house, you might have an expansion of friendships or an expansion of acquaintances that you relate to through new ideas and possibilities. You might find yourself wanting to join a lot of groups and be a member of different associations. You could also find that you want to travel more and share with other parts of the world, or you want to give back. You want to, I don't know, start an organization. You could start, you know, a nonprofit or a charity with this influence, depending how it works with you, as long as your intentions are for benefiting the collective. And then after the 11th house, we move into the 12th. The 12th house is ruled by Pisces. And this is where we're starting to return to our inner world. And this is about the collective on a spiritual level, the collective consciousness and what we have, I think of it as what we've collected as we've made this full circle around our astrology chart. If Jupiter is moving into your 12th house, This is where you might find yourself needing more solitude and alone time to take in and absorb everything you've learned, and to need space to determine what is right for you, you know, what fits with your version and your needs, especially related to spirituality. It's where we conceal ourselves from public view. We like to be behind the scenes. We want our own space, It's about wanting to be within your own energy field, but with the intention of knowing that you're connected to everyone else. And you take everything you've absorbed and learned and have accumulated, and you're reviewing it, and you decide what is going to go forward with you when Jupiter again crosses into your first house. So there's a completion with it. You could find that certain thoughts and behaviors, certain communication styles are done. You could find that, you know, certain areas of your life are complete and you're ready to let those go with love, with beauty, with intention and gratitude, so that you can start fresh when Jupiter again moves into your first house. So Jupiter in Gemini will stay with us until next June, 2013. It will go retrograde for a period, and I'll talk about that when that happens. But right now, we're just initiating this energy. We're starting it fresh. It does work with the energy from the May 20th eclipse. So you could find some ideas come back around and some things really start moving as Jupiter gets going in Gemini. So thank you for listening. Thank you so much for listening to this part of our show and for everything that I can share with you about astrology and more. As always, you can find more free resources on consciouscoolchic.com. I also have astrology sessions if that's something you're interested in, if you want to find out more about your chart and some of the themes that are going on for you right now. I thank you so much for listening today, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day, and I'll look for you next week. Thank you.